our loving Father, Lord. As I open your words and I speak your words, may your spirit be the one that is here. Lord, speak through me. Speak to me. Help us understand, Lord, that we're here for such a time as this, that the hour is so close, that you're yearning, that you're praying, that you're asking us to come together, Lord, and to connect with you, because there's a time that is coming that you may not be. You may not be as close as us, Lord, because there's so many things that are going to be around us, but you're always by our side. No matter what happens, Lord, you're always by our side. You always love us and you always care for us. And I ask, Lord, that as we open, as we speak, as we connect with you today, may we leave this place, Lord, in such a way that we have known that we have been in the presence of him who created this universe. That we can say with assurance that this is our God in whom we have waited. Oh, Lord, I thank you and I love you. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. There's very few times in our life that we truly realize the Savior that we follow. And today I want you to open your Bibles. I want you to come to chapter 26 of Matthew. And we're going to start in verse 36. But before we start in verse 36, I want to tell you a story about this young teacher that wanted to have, for the first time, he was going into a classroom. And he had found that there is a particular classroom that they had gone through five teachers that particular year. And as he's sitting there in front of the principal saying, I want you to give me an opportunity to be able to teach in this school. And he's saying, I want this particular classroom. The principal sat there and has said, son, do you even know what you're asking? He says, this is your first time introduced yourself to a classroom, your first time to be a teacher, and you're asking to be put in the worst class in the whole history of this school. And he says, yes, sir, I do want that. And as he walks into, he sees all the unruliness that is happening around the class, and he talks and he sits down and says, my name is, I don't know his name. And he tells the student, I am here to serve. But what I'd like for you to do today, I want you to make up 10 rules in which we're going to conduct ourselves in our classroom. And I will be the facilitator for you. And quickly they started making rules right up and down that people need to be on time, that they need to be. And 10 rules were quickly put up for those in the classroom. The next thing that he said, what is the punishment? And he says the punishment needs to be 5 straps to the back without a jacket. And it says that's very harsh. And it says, yes, but that's what we want. And things got so well in the classroom that the students were behaving and everybody was learning. But about 5 days into the process, the biggest and strongest young man in the classroom said, teacher, somebody stole my lunch. Now, they looked at the rules, and that is one of the rules, and somebody needs to fess up. And the tiniest, scrawniest little kid stood up and it said, it was me. The teacher looked at him and he says, oh my. As that child came up and he said, you need to take your jacket off. He says, oh, please don't let me take my jacket off. And he says, that's the rules. So as he was taking his jacket off, you can see that he didn't have any shirt underneath. You can see that there is just bones on him. There wasn't much there. And the teacher was saying, Lord, what am I to do? And all of a sudden, from the back of the room, the biggest, the most strongest man in the classroom said, Professor, can I take his beating? This is the same young man that the food was stolen. And he said, there is nothing in the rules that you can't. So he came to the front and he held them as he was being strapped in the back. And as he was being strapped in the back, the young man held to him and said, thank you. Thank you for being my Savior. And I hope that that story understand that you are that young man. I hope that you understand that Christ is that big giant of a man that's coming and saying, Lord, can I take their punishment? And God is trying to tell you today that there is a time that God said, I'm going to go and I'm going to be with them and I'm going to die on the cross for them because I love them. And right now, God is trying to tell you it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you have been. It doesn't matter if you are the one that is suffering the most. I am going to take your punishment. I am going to be there for you. And I tell you this story because I want you to understand that this punishment would not come easy. And I want us to go again to Matthew chapter 26, and I want us to start in verse 36, and it says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. I don't know what Gethsemane means to you. I don't know that when you read the story of Jesus and when you read what we're going about to read about the story of Jesus, what happened in Gethsemane, I don't think very few of us really understand, because most of us, we focus on the cross, on the sacrifice that happened in the cross, and we don't understand the suffering that was happening before the cross. And as we go there, and it says, then cometh Jesus with them unto the place of Gethsemane, and said unto them, disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Our lesson for this week was about prayer. Our lesson this week was about the emotions that are happening in individuals' life. Our lessons about this week is by understanding that there are words already in this love letter that would touch you, that would let you know exactly that whatever emotion, whatever circumstances that you're going through, there are those who have been there, and there are those who have been successful. There are those who have connected with God in a mighty way, that you're not alone. And if you know the story of Christ, you know that Jesus prayed with his Father every morning. Every day he would come and he'd connect. But at this time, he's telling his disciples, hold on, wait for a moment. I'm going to go to pray. The interesting part is verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to sorrow very heavy. Wouldn't you have loved to be? Wouldn't you have loved to be Peter, to be the one that is chosen? You've walked with your Creator. You've walked with Jesus. You have seen his miracles. You have seen all. And all of a sudden, he's saying, I'm going to pray. And he points you out and he says, you, I want you to come with me. There's times in our life that, yes, we can come and we pray ourselves, but there's times in our life that we need somebody to be by our side. There's times in our life when we need somebody to encourage us. We need somebody to be praying for us. The corporate prayer is power. And many times we have those individuals. I encourage you that you find those individuals in your life, that you find individuals in which that are going to help you through the toughest time of your life. There's many things that are happening. And yes, you can do it. Through Christ, we can do all things. But God gives us, this is why we're here on Sabbath, to come together, to understand that yes, Brother Stephen is hurting just as much as I'm hurting. Brother Stephen is going through trials just as much as I am. That doesn't mean that it's great for Brother Stephen, but it means that my God doesn't leave me alone, that there's others, and I could be an encouragement to you as I'm going through my trials, as I'm going through my tribulations, as I'm going through those things, I could be there for you as well. And Christ is saying, and he's yearning at this moment, and it says that his heart was what? Sorrowful and very heavy. I don't know if you have seen this side of Christ before. I don't know if you understand what's happening here in Gethsemane. And Christ is telling to his close disciples. Christ is telling to those who he loves the most. And he says, I need you right now because my heart is sorrowful. And it continues in verse 38. And it says, then said Jesus to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Have you been there? Have you been in a situation that your heart is completely broken? Have you been in a situation where you don't know if you even want to come out tomorrow? Have you been in a place where you're sitting and you go to bed and you're crying your heart out? And you're sitting there and says, Lord, I can't take it anymore. Lord, my heart aches. Lord, I cannot know if I could do it. Have you been in those situations? Have you been in a moment of desperation? Have you been in a place where you are so anxious, where you are so discouraged, where things are happening around you? And now you got to put those emotions and you got to put it in your Creator God. And your creator God, the one that has done nothing but give you grace, the one that has done nothing but give you love, the one that has done nothing but show you the way, the one that has done nothing but engulf you with this loving, right now he's at a place where you are. And many of time we look at Jesus and we look at him and we put him in a pedestal and we put him think, oh, but he is Jesus. No, he had the same emotions as you. He suffered just like you do. And right now you are seeing for the first time, Christ is saying, I'm sorrowful. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. And he's saying, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. It says, tardy ye here. And watch with me. My brothers and sisters, right now Christ is trying to let you know. Right now Christ is trying to let you know that it doesn't matter what situation that you're in, that he has been there. I know there are some of you who have been in that situation. I know there are some of you who have been in the point of death where you say, Lord, I don't want it anymore. I know there are so many things that are happening. Christ is trying to tell you, I need you to pray. I need you to pray. I need you to pray. I need you to pray right now. I don't know what your prayer life is. I don't know what it is that you feel that prayer is about. But prayer, the only thing it is for you to be able to connect with your Creator God. Prayer is the way for you to commute with Him. Prayer is the way for you to let your Father know that, yes, Lord, I know you know everything. But at the same time, I also know that you need to hear it from me. You know, I equate it to a marriage. When you've been married as long as I have, 30 some odd years, you take it so much for granted. Oh, she knows I love her. You no longer buy flowers. You no longer tell her, honey, you look beautiful today. You no longer take the time to let her know. You no longer even take the time to listen to her. And you assume that that's wonderful. You assume that that could continue for another 20 years. And yet the marriage keeps dying slowly and slowly and slowly to the point where it disappears. And it's the same thing that happens to your relationship with God. Yes, no, God knows everything. But God needs to hear from you. God is yearning at this moment. Christ wanted to connect. Christ wanted for his disciples to understand that there is a time when which we need to connect with God in such ways because there are things that are coming. And God, Christ knew at this moment. And Christ knows what's about to come. Christ knows that the things that are, and Christ is letting you today, I need you to understand that for this moment, come and pray with me. He prayed for you. I preached that sermon a few years ago, how Christ prayed for you and he said, Lord, please be with them. And he said that he's going so many times, he has done, but now he's saying, I need you to pray with me. I need you to connect in a way. I need you to understand that there is right now, there's something important that you need to come because there's an event that's about to happen that you're not even aware of, that you don't even understand because you're here because you think I'm going to be the king and I'm going to make you the greatest in my kingdom. You don't understand that my kingdom is greater than anything on earth. And Christ right here, I can't imagine my Christ being sorrowful. I can't imagine my creator being sorrowful to the point of death, to the point where he feels that life is coming out of him. I imagine my Christ to be a strong, mighty, powerful being. But at this moment, I'm seeing a way, I'm seeing somebody that is so with anguish, what's happening. And all he's asking of me today is, can you please stay and pray? In verse 39, it says, and he went a little further. And fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will be done. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. I don't know if you've ever, God, I've asked you to do something. And you sit there, I don't know if it's in your office, maybe God has asked you to go to your boss and talk to him about a relationship with him. And you sit there and you anguish and you wonder, Lord, I don't think I can. Or maybe somebody asked you to come up here and preach and you're saying, oh no, not me. You know, and it's so interesting because the beautiful part of it is that when God asks you to do something, he's the one that gives you the power. He's the one that equips you in order for you to do whatever he asked you to do. And right now, he's saying in this moment, it says, Lord, Father, I know you've prepared me. I know that my task is, I know what I ought to do, but if it's possible, if there's any way possible, may this cup be taken away from me. I hope that you're understanding the Jesus that I'm trying to picture to you today. I hope that you understand that I'm trying to give you a picture of Jesus in which he is so yearning. He loves you so much, but at this moment of his life, he is so hurting. At this moment of his life, he can feel the whole weight of the world coming on top of him. And he can feel, and he's saying to his Father, Father, if it's possible. And the one thing that hurts him the most is that he may fail and he may not see you. And let me tell you, there's nothing that God wants more than to have a communion with you. And this is why 6,000 years ago, he separated a 24-hour period to let you know that I want you so much, that I want you to understand that within this 24 hours, I'm going to give you an additional blessing. This 24 hours, I'm going to engulf you with so much because I know how difficult life is. I have been there. Many of you are wondering, Lord, but I can't do it without it. Lord, I can't trust you enough. And this moment is when you really realize when Christ is pleading to his Father and his Christ is crying to his Father and they're saying, Lord, is there any way? Is there any other way that this can be done? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but there isn't any other way. It continues. And three times Christ is pleading to his Father. And I don't know if you really understand the anguish that Christ is going through, and I don't understand. But when you really continue to read, you understand that Christ was such sorrowful that blood was flowing for his body. That's how much of a distress that he was in. But yet, at every time, three times, he said, let not my will be done, but thy will be done. And we get to verse 40, and it says, and he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch for me for 1 hour? I don't know if those words are resonating in your life. I don't know if you understand, because here is a Christ, here is the creator of the universe, and he's coming and he's telling his three closest friends, he's telling those who he loves, those who he needs, and he's telling them, I'm in so much anguish, I'm in so much pain, I need you to come and pray for me. And right now, he is thinking that he's praying to his Father, and he's blaring out his heart, and he's telling, Lord, let your will be done. And he's thinking that his friends are praying, and his friends are helping him. Then he comes to that point where he sees that they're asleep. Brothers, there is no time to sleep right now. There is no time to sleep. The decisions need to be done today. Tomorrow may be too late. And I know that I say this so many times, but tomorrow may be too late. Today is when you need to make your decision, because today is when God is trying to let you know that there is something happening. There is something that's going. You cannot be asleep right now. Christ is calling you to come and pray. Christ is calling you to let you know that there is a need. Christ is calling you to understand that the pain that he's going through, but at the same time, Christ is calling you, because we go into our text message, verse 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Are you entering into temptation today? Are there things that the enemy is doing in your life that is taking you away from your connection with God? It's the rat life, the rat, rat race in life. Is that more important than your God? And right now, God is trying to tell you that doesn't matter school, doesn't matter. You know, you guys here at our church, we have this beautiful program that we're putting together, and we have all of these young kids that are coming to us, but yet the enemy's still attacking. The enemy does not want his message, God's message, to go to the world. on anything that we do. So this is why Christ is saying, right now, I need you to come. Right now, I need you to plead. Right now, I need you to pray. Right now, I need you to connect. I'm just asking you for 1 hour. I'm saying, for this precious hour right now, I'm telling you, you've been with me for 3+ years. You have seen the power of God. You have seen what you can accomplish. Right now, I'm telling you that there is something that's happening, and you need to pray. Because the enemy wants to tempt you today. The enemy wants to derail you today. The enemy wants to let you know that, no, you don't need to worry. Oh, it's been 6,000 years. He's never going to come. Have you not heard that? Oh, you're not good enough for him. Have you heard that one? There are so many things that the enemy is trying to tell. Oh, I could do it tomorrow. Or maybe you're saying, oh, I've heard you. I heard you, but it's not time yet. And Christ is telling you, watch. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, it's interesting when you have that first encounter with God. I remember, you know, I was 11 years old and I was being baptized. And I know I told you guys the story. My mom and dad were not there. And it broke my heart. And I can't believe it. I still remember. I barely remember anything about my youth, but I still remember the day I was baptized. And I remember it so vividly because my family was not there. It was just me and my God in the waters and letting them know, I don't care about anything else. I just want you. You know, in that moment, every time I see somebody being baptized, it brings me right back to that moment. Every time that somebody comes and makes a decision, it brings me right back to that moment. And I realize what an experience it is to be able to know that I have given my heart to the Lord. But ever since then, there's still struggles. There are still things. They're still happening in my life. And I have to be reminded. And Christ is telling you right now is the time. And it's so interesting that the lesson study for this week is about prayer. And let me tell you, I did not do the two together. I didn't even put it together when Brother Stephen called me. And Christ is trying to tell you, I've shown you how to pray. Our Father. Oh, let He be your Father. Who art in heaven. You see, that's the problem that we have every day. The problem that we have every day, that we put our Father in heaven. The issue that we have is that we keep our Father in heaven. And our Father which are in heaven, whom we should hallowed, wants to be here by your side right now. Because He has told you that I'm never going to leave you, nor will I forsake you. And right now, He says, give us this day our daily bread. I'm telling you, God wants to supply to you so many things. God wants to make sure that you understand that the Father who are in heaven is the one that is going to help you through in such a time as this. And right now we see Jesus. We see Jesus imploring His disciples to come and pray. And it continues in verse 42. And He went again the second time. And it says, oh, Father, if it's possible, this is the second time. And in verse 43, and He came and found His disciple again. For their eyes were heavy. Are your eyes heavy today? You know, I just heard one of our members. And she's hurting right now. And she's hurting because she had this goal and she had this mission and she had this desire that God was going to help her, and it all was, boom, taken from underneath her. And right now her heart is pained because she's wondering, Lord, I prayed. Lord, I did my best. You asked me to pray. You asked me to put myself in that situation. You asked me to go and do it. And I had so much faith that this was going to happen. And all of a sudden, boom, it's all taken away from her. And right now she's saying, where are you, Lord? I know you've been there. I know there's many of you who have struggled. I know there's many of you who have thought. I know there's many of you right now that are in the valley of decision that are saying, Lord, how come I can't make that decision? And right now, God, for the second time, is telling you to come and pray with Him. But it says there, it says that they are asleep again and their eyes were heavy. Your eyes might be heavy today. Your eyes might be seeing that there are so much things that are happening. But Christ is telling you right now, and it says, and then he cometh to the disciple asleep and said, sleep now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. I hope that you understand that Christ loves you so much that he's trying to tell you, I'm willing to let you be where you're at. God is trying to tell you, I'll allow you to wait for your decision. Christ is trying to tell you, the things might seem that they're bleak and everything is falling apart. But let me tell you that Christ is saying here, and it says, sleep now and take your rest. Behold, the hour of the hand is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. In verse 46, rise. Let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Brothers and sisters, we always think that Judas was the one that betrayed Christ. We always think that when we read this part of the scripture that this only belongs to the disciples. We always think that anguish that Christ went through is because of, oh, it's just something that he went, but the anguish that Christ went through is because of you. The anguish that Christ went through is because he knew the sacrifice that he was asked to be done because he loves you so much. Yes, in this circumstances, Judas is the one that was coming to betray him. But right now, he's suffering because he's not just saying that about Judas. He's saying that about you right now. And he wants to make sure that you understand that now is not the time to betray our God. Now is not the time to give up on our God. When situations might seem that they're bleak, when situations might seem that there is no future, when situation might seem that your soul in a point where you cannot make those decisions, Christ is saying, pray with me. Pray with me right now. I need you to understand that I know what your future is. I need you to understand that I know what the plans that I have for you, and the plans that I have for you are magnificent plans. The plans that I have for you is for you to be fruitful, for you to have all. And yet we keep on staying the same place. I just got a fish tank over on my job. And I got three little fishes. They're all different. One male and two females. And I got there and I'm listening and I'm looking. I love fish. I tell them when I go to heaven, I want God to give my house in the middle of the ocean, and that's where I want to live. I want to live at the bottom of the ocean, seeing all the fish coming by. And I'm sitting there and I look at this fish, and there's this one majestic. He's had a beautiful tail, and he's the king of the fish tank. And he's going, he's got two females. One is a guppy that doesn't have a male yet. And then the other one is the same kind as him. And here he is like a king going around and bullying all the girls. And they're all in the one place hiding. And I had to tell him, you're going to suffer, little guy, because I don't like bullies. So I call them a bully. You know, and somebody came into my office and it says, have you named them yet? Yes, I named that one Bully. You know, but after a while, he started to become Casanova. And he started to go and spend time with the other two fish. And let me tell you right now, the enemy is a bully. The enemy is trying to attack you in place that you don't understand. The enemy is trying to destroy everything that you're trying to do. The enemy is trying to get to the place where he's telling you, I'm the king of this world. He might be the king of this world, but 2,000 years ago, he lost his kingship. And the king of this world is your Jesus Christ. The king of this world is the one that at the creation knelt down and formed man with his own hand. He didn't just say, man, come out. He knelt down and he formed them. And he made sure that he made the fingers. And he made sure that he made the toes. And he made sure that he made everything. And then after you were fully created, and then after you were fully made, he breathed his own. It wasn't just any air. It wasn't just anything. He could have said, boom, come, wake up. But he didn't. He breathed into his nostrils and then he came. So therefore, not only did he form you, he gave you part of himself for you. And he's telling you today, don't let the bully get to you, because your Savior already took the slashing. Your Savior already took the punishment. Your Savior already is telling you, son and daughter, I hear you. I have been there. I have felt the desperation. I have felt the pain. I have felt where you're at. The only thing I'm asking from you today, pray. 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 Our loving Father, I know there is one here today that you're calling home. I know there is at least one here, Lord, that you're saying, be still and know that I am God. And I know, Lord, that there is one here that is saying, here I am, send me. Oh, Lord, softly and tenderly, you're calling right now. Softly and tenderly, you're letting them know, Lord, that yes, I accept your gift. Yes, I have heard your voice. And yes, I am going to use you. Oh, Lord, please, Lord, help me to pray. Help me to understand the power of prayer. And help me to know, Lord, that you are yearning to spend eternity with us. May that day, Lord, when Christ puts that crown of glory in our head, may that day will be in our minds forever, Lord. May we realize that Christ, you in Gethsemane, you cried for me. You in Gethsemane, you're asking and you were pleading for me to pray so I could be led from the temptations that the enemy has for me. Oh, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for letting me call you Dad, Abba. And Lord, may I reflect you in everything that I do. And Lord, may those who are making those decisions today, may they realize that that's the best decision they'll ever make for the rest of their life. To tell the enemy no more, I belong to the Creator God. I thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.